time.
That's true. Our generation has prioritized
experiences
ourselves first, which is kind of declining our population as well. Keep that in mind too. So
what do you mean declining our population?
We're not getting married early, or we may not be having kids. Our generation is not having as much kids as people think. You know how supposedly our population is supposed to grow at a certain rate? Our generation kind of killed that momentum, let me tell you right now.
No, but that was never, we could never have kept up with the baby boomers.
I'm not saying we should have. I'm just saying there's a pace of that, right? There's supposed to be a pace.
I know, but they ruined the curve. The baby boomers ruined the curve. They all came back from the war and just brought kids out like crazy.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten Free Granite Dot Podcast. My name is Michael, and always with me, Robert Din.
Hey, everyone. How's it going? We got a great episode for you today. First off, Mike, what are you drinking?
Today, I am drinking oat milk with coffee.
Milk with oat milk? Coffee with oat milk? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try to keep it natural. Try to keep it healthy. So,
all right.
even though it's 10 o'clock at night, but whatever.
10 o'clock at night. Clear cup. I love the clear cup. Yeah. You got to get that on. Oatly just went public.
IPO, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. IPO. So you're helping them out.
No, I don't like the brand, so I refuse to help them out. Yes, I said it and recorded it.
Right? Oh, man. Mike Wong hates oat milk.
No. I don't hate oat milk.
Just joking.
You know what?
Doesn't hate oat milk, just Oatly. I don't know.
Anyway, so what are you drinking?
I am drinking some bubble tea.
Bubble tea? Nice. No alcohol today for you either, huh?
No alcohol. This is from a Yifeng Taiwan fruit tea. That's the brand. Yeah, that's the brand.
That's a new brand next in SF?
Yeah. Yifeng Taiwan fruit tea.
Man, there's probably 1,000 brands of bubble tea in SF right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do they compete with each other, man? How much bubble tea can you really sell?
I don't know. There's a lot of bubble tea, and they all seem to do amazingly well.
I guess at the end of the day, as long as you can move $5 a cup every single day, you just need a certain amount. That's all you need. So
yeah, that's true.
It's like selling water.
And even during COVID and everything's closed, they're still here. Plus,
it's already prepackaged to go because you make it. You had to seal it regardless. So
I know, but I don't know. Usually I only have gotten bubble tea when I walk there and I go get it. I haven't really gotten delivery bubble tea very often.
Oh, so see, I have. So you know how we get the Amex with $15 credit every month? I use them for bubble tea most of the time, to be honest with you.
Oh, Amex.
Yeah, and it's Uber Eats, so get it delivered for me.
I see.
Yeah. It's good enough of 2.5 bubble tea, that's what it is. Because by the time you tip somebody, it's $15 already. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Now, this one, $15. Was two. It's not 2.5. It was two.
Okay. Yeah. Man, so, okay. Before we get sidetracked, too much bubble tea. Okay.
Let's
focus on this week's episode. Okay. All right. All right. So, this week's episode, we're going to discuss time and money. And a little bit of background of this question is as we get older, we want both, but we can't have both.
See? Yeah.
And so, if you have one option, would you rather have more time or more money, Robert?
But would you use that time to make more money?
You could do whatever you want with that time.
So
right?
Wouldn't the obvious answer be oh yeah, if I could have a wish, I'd wish for 1,000 wishes, right? Isn't that something?
But
similar?
If you have a family though, do you have time or do you want more money though? See, I think that answer will vary depending on, I guess, your life scenario, right? We're single. Our answer might be different. Versus someone who have a family and kids.
That's true. Yeah. Someone with family and kids would probably want more time with their family. Yeah. As long as everything's taken care of. Yeah, I think.
This is a question I've been contemplating for quite some while, especially the last 7 months, And so, do I want more time or do I want more money? Especially with COVID, I appreciated more time coming back to me. You know, less travel, mm-hmm. working from home, working more efficiently from home. So therefore, I gain more time for myself. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily I'm making more money though, see? Unless I use that time to make more money.
Yeah. Unless you use that time to go make more money. Yeah. I don't know. Like, if I'm just going to use that time to work, isn't it the same?
It depends what you want to do. So I'll start answering that question myself.
Yeah, let me think about it.
So for me, I decided that I want more money. And the reason why is because once I have more money, I have more time. Mm. So most people think the other way around, right? Which is fine. It's okay. So because I'm being single, if I can make more money somehow, right now, today, the next 3 to 5 years somehow, right? Build wealth as much as you can. I can have more time to back in, right? But the downside to that is that I might not be enjoying my time in front right now. You know what I mean? So therefore, am I losing time in a sense? I mean, or I can make quick money, I guess, in the next 2 years or so, and then have more time. So it depends on, I guess, the long-term goal is. So I figure, you know what? If I can make more money up front as much as I can, I can have more time at the end and then to figure out what I want to do. So
that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I think that answer comes up until a point, like up until like you've reached your goal of like financial goal, right? I think right now I would also choose money, but only slightly. I think it's because
it's pretty close though for me. It's really close.
It's because right now, like, I feel like I work on salary, right? So like working more doesn't lead to more money. So it's like you're putting in more time, like, and the higher you go, the more time you're putting in just because you're doing more mental stuff. You're involved more with the business. So you just like have less time because you're just putting so much into work. Right.
And so how about this? Let me ask you this though. So let's say that it sounds like you're on the fence, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say that you want more money, but necessarily mean that you're going to work more, right? But what if you have your own business on the side to make more money?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, but that requires more time.
If it wasn't the situation I'm in now where I'm making a salary and the more work I do, I don't make any more money. If it was like, I'm going to put more effort in, it's my own business, or I work hourly or something, and I'll put more time into work to make more money. Yep. I would do that. I would just put everything in.
You should say time or money. Sorry, which one you say?
I would just go for the money. I would just like I would just do a thousand hours or something just to accumulate that money, and then I can spend that money later, right? Like,
correct. Yeah,
that's
correct.
It really makes a lot of sense. It's really comes down to like when you're like, but it doesn't give you much time for like relationships. Time to like, I don't know. I feel like
And that's why because we're single, right? So our answer might be different. Mm-hmm. And let's say that we end up meeting a girl and then we would start dating. Then our answer probably is going to change dramatically. So
depends how good the girl is.
Right. Depends.
Yeah. It's like how much you really love the girl, I guess. Maybe you find a girl that is also the same, so then you don't have to change anything. But yeah, it really does depend on a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah, I contemplated this answer a few times just because I have more time. Doesn't mean I'm making more money. No, because my salary is fixed, right? Unless I'm starting a new project, starting other things, start selling stuff, then I'll be making more money, right? But I appreciate the time that I've gotten back. But I feel like I'd rather make more money. And then I can accumulate the time later on to do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so, and also keep this in mind. I'm not saying necessarily is that you're busting 100 hours, 50 hours a week type of deal. Like, I'm like, you could be making more money and working less. Think about it.
That's true. Like if you change jobs, if you change into a different, I don't know, if I went into a different career or something.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, people think that making more money means that you're wasting more time. No, that's not at all. It just means that you'd be probably making more hourly or higher salary. That's all it means.
That's true. Yeah. I think, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. If mm-hmm. just changing jobs, like you could be making more money and not working as much.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that
It happens
don't
in the
do anything,
industry.
And then they make more than me.
So. They don't do anything. It's nice, right?
It must be a nice life, really. I look at them and I'm like, man, I'm envious. How did you get this? You got this great opportunity.
they just work less than you, that's all.
Yeah, just work less, still get paid, don't get fired. Seems like a great job.
That's like a government job to me.
Yeah, it also gets it like I think as some people who are on salary, I think for us it's like, oh, we can only work like we should only work so much at our jobs because it's such a fixed salary. Yep. So like I totally feel that.
But we work so eventually, you know, because you do a fixed salary, right? So from at least for my job, I can work more efficiently. But the sooner, and then once I hit that efficiency, that's my efficiency. You know what I mean? Like it's not like I can just make shortcuts. No, I can't make shortcuts. You know, that's like my maximum efficiency I can do, and that's where okay, you know what? I required I could probably do 42 hours after the deal, and before I was supposed to 50 hours, and I was able to cut it down 8 hours. You know, but you just. But at that point, that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, for me, it's a little different. Like, yeah. I could work a little more to make parts of like other parts of the job more effective. But then there's always that opportunity to make everything better. So that if I work like 50 hours this week, I'll get back a couple hours going forward. But then that other couple hours gets like filled with other stuff. So then like that's always
cascade. It's always cascading.
Yeah. So like I could end up working 50, 60 hours forever just because I'm making stuff more improved every week. Yeah. And maybe if I stopped improvements, then
well,
I
for
could
us,
drop it down. But it's just crazy. It just
well for us it's a scope of work as well. So we're always defined by our scope of work. Mm-hmm. So once that scope of work is fulfilled to its best maximum, you know.
Yeah. So, I agree. Yeah, it makes sense. I also think like if we had a family, it'd be different.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. If you have a family, you would choose more time to spend with the family and more time to make more money too. If you think about that, right? So they could pick you. Time is something that is very finite, where you can always make more money. Hmm. Time you can never get back. Money you can.
Right, exactly. And that's like I think the millennials are in this space right now where like we've seen that
millennials or Gen Zs?
I think it's millennials because Gen Zs aren't working right now, right? Or like
they're
just getting into the work environment. So like that's they're really not
They're working hard, that's what I'm saying.
They're working hard right now, not really working smart yet. So yeah. So like I think the millennials, they have prioritized like travel a lot, and like that is not work, right? So like that's more of the time.
That's true. Our generation, our generation has prioritized
experiences
ourselves first. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of declining our population as well. Keep that in mind too. So
what do you mean declining our population?
We're not getting married early, or we may not be having kids, you know, or once the time comes by, like our generation is not having as much kids as people think. You know how supposedly our population is supposed to grow a certain rate. Our generation kind of killed that momentum, let me tell you right now.
No, but that was never – like, we could never have kept up with the baby boomers.
I'm not saying we should have. I'm just saying, like there's a pace of that, right? There's supposed to be a pace.
I know, but they ruined the curve. Like, the baby boomers ruined the curve. They all came back from the war and just, like, brought kids out like crazy. Like, we didn't have that. So I think we were going to decline anyways. Like, that. Like we were going to have that decline no matter what.
But I feel like with the extra time, like you said, right, we are taking more time to find ourselves, the experience, like you said, the travel, to try different things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and our age group for sure has gotten like the marriage. I guess the average age of being married instead of like 21 is like probably 26, 27 now. Something stupid
like
that, probably.
Yeah. And I we all know, like even us, we're 30 something, like mid 30s. We're not even married yet. So it's, our age to get married is way higher, and then that just like leads to like the age to have kids is going to be way higher too.
So you think that our answer would be time though? My answer is not time right now yet. My answer is still money.
Yeah, I think it also might be that we're a little weird, right? Like
we are weird.
We're weird within our millennial generation as well. I think if you talk to other millennials, they would be like, no, we want more time to go out and experience stuff and do stuff.
That's true.
Right? I know a lot of people that are like that, where like money is not their priority at all. Like money is just there to like get them by, and then to get them to like go out and do other things. But for me, it's like money is like, it's gonna give me time later to like
Correct.
do
And for me, I
whatever.
don't want to worry about this ever again. I do not want to worry about it. I don't want to stress about it. Like, it's something I can remove from my shoulder. That's what I want
Right.
to do.
And it's something that I'm working now so that like later on I don't have to think about money, and that no one down my generational line has to think about it either.
Correct. Yeah. I completely agree. Like, just like my parents helped me set up us up, I want to set my next generation up as well too. I 100% agree on that part. But also at the same time, there's a counter argument where, like, guess what? You live for today, though. Life is short. You know what I mean? Now you will see tomorrow.
We also lost all that time that we're working when
Correct.
everyone
Yeah.
else is out there. All the
Partying
other
up.
millennials
Yeah.
are partying and like going
Traveling,
out,
to
traveling.
Italy, we're having fine wine,
I don't know how fine of wine that they're having when they're broke, right? But like I'm in the mindset where like by the time that I'm able to do it, I'm gonna have the finest of everything. I'm gonna have the finest of wine. And
The
then
finest rosé
that's that it'll all be worth it when it happens.
Yeah, but I mean, you see what I'm saying though, right? Like, it just comes down to, it's, I guess, your end. What is your end game between the next 3 to 5 years? And everyone's different stages of life, so different stages of their lives. So yeah.
I totally agree. Let's move on to our
Funny session.
funny session.
All right.
What do you have
All
for
right.
us?
I have a really funny thing today. So, you know
Really
how
funny thing.
everybody's taking the vaccine today, nowadays, and we're talking about, early today, I wanted to chat about people flopping, some of that. This is kind of funny. It reminds me of something, it's kind of combined together, the vaccine and sports. So it's pretty much, and Neymar is known for flopping. And so this is, and the title is called A Rare Photo of a Football Player Getting His Vaccine. And
Oh my God.
it's Neymar getting his vaccine. He's like, ah. I wish it was a LeBron James with this. That would be
So the
hilarious.
people who aren't seeing the
Yeah.
video, right? And
For the
so
photo.
it's
Yeah.
they it's like Neymar, who's a soccer player, football player. He
Yeah.
he's like on the he's a, it's a picture of him photoshopped while he's like every time they get touched, they like fall on the ground like they're
Yep.
in pain by it like a lot, right? So it's a Photoshop picture of that of him, and then a doctor like trying to give him a shot. It that's is a hilarious. This is so good. I wish they had a LeBron James of this.
That'd be hilarious, right?
So my funny thing is actually very
Yeah.
similar.
Oh, really? Nice.
Where I was just gonna talk about LeBron James, and his flopping,
Okay.
so and how the reactions have been to his flopping.
Let me see.
So there have been, so it when the in the play-in tournament. So this year in the NBA, the play-in tournament,
Yeah.
it was the Warriors versus the Lakers to fight for the seventh place,
Yep.
spot, and in that game, LeBron James got like hit pretty hard by he got fouled pretty hard by Draymond Green,
Yep.
and maybe like he said that he got like an a finger to the eye or whatever, but he went down, he fell down and stayed down for 5 minutes or something. Like,
Hey.
oh my God, this is the worst pain ever. Like it was just so ridiculous how much he played it up that he was injured. And then even down to like the last second shot that he took, he's like, I saw three rims and I was just shot for the middle one. Like,
That's what he said?
that's
No,
what
he
he
did
said.
not.
Yeah, he said that in like the interviews. So like fans, and even like this is like CJ McCollum, who's like a another
Jesus
basketball player,
Christ.
is just like clowning on him for like how how much
I
he's
will clown on
acted.
him too, man.
CJ
I will.
McCollum says actor of the year. He just called him actor of the year.
That would be so give him like an Oscar award.
Yeah, like it's like, oh my god, like this reaction is so ridiculous. Like it's just like all the footballers who are just like playing up theirs as well. And then in yesterday's game, they played the first round against the Phoenix Suns, and Chris Paul, or this might be today's game. This might be today's game.
I think it's today's game.
It was today's game. So what happened was Chris Paul, like he went up, he shot a free throw. Chris Paul's blocking him out.
Yeah.
And then LeBron's trying to go up and Chris Paul's holding his arm. He's holding his arm down. Yeah. And so he falls. And then like here, we can play this video, right? Hold on. Let me turn off the sound. We can play this video. He jumps up, falls down. And just rolls like he is just in so much ridiculous pain. And then he, you even see him, there's a fight that goes on, right? So he looks over at the fight like, oh, are they looking at me? And then he's like, oh, they're looking over there, but I'm gonna still have to act like I'm hurt. So if you look at like, what is it, 7 seconds? He like looks over at the fight. He looked over at the fight and then he's like, oh no, I'm hurt. I gotta pretend like I'm still hurt.
Like pauses. Like he pauses the dramatic thing.
Yeah, he paused it. He looked over and he's like, oh no, I'm still hurt. And he like gets back down. So
Jeff Goodman is that LeBron is prepared to have for his second career in acting.
I know. And then Sean was like, oh yeah, if he's this good at acting, like Space Jam 2 is gonna be amazing, right? But like this, like a fight happens during the game, and then LeBron comes over towards the fight. Everybody leaves where the fight is. LeBron comes over and then sits back down on the ground and is like, oh man, I'm so hurt. So like people are just clowning on him.
Even his fan doesn't, you know, is not even defending him.
I know, like this is just too much. Like it's just too much. But yeah. Damn, oh, man. I can't believe it.
Chris Paul actually injured his shoulder, though, supposedly, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Chris Paul injured his shoulder. He ran into his own player. Like his teammate.
His player. Yeah. His own teammate ran into him. That's right.
He ran into his own. And then, like, you could tell when he was, like, dribbling, like, he couldn't dribble as well. Like, he was just, like, lost the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely injured. LeBron is injured every game. Apparently. Yeah. So yeah, it's just ridiculous.
All right. So now let's get back to the conversation. Now the second part of this conversation I kinda wanted to talk about is more like if you had, you know, I guess the financial freedom, let's just say that, you know, because at the end of the day, listen, an average American, they're in debt, they can't even scratch $400. That's just facts, you know? They don't even have $400 saved, right? So if you were working this much, right, would you want to work for like equity? Like, you know what I mean? Because would you take a risk going to a smaller company and you know for a fact that you can get equity out of this? Sorry, hang on. Can I go to the
yeah. For everyone who's listening, Mike's light just came, just went off.
it's telling me to go home, you know?
Time to go home, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. So your question is like, if we like, should you be working for equity at a smaller company rather than like a larger?
Yeah, because we're already busting 50, 60 hours of working a week around, right? Should we take a gamble in a sense that take a little bit less pay, but work for equity and hoping that company does really well and you get a piece of the pie? Because you're already working that many hours already. Or do you go, you stay working at corporate America, work for a little bit of extra cash, but not have the piece of pie? And you're working the same amount of hours, by the way. Mm-hmm. What would you do?
What would I do? Well, I don't know. For my history, I've gone to smaller companies and taken equity just because it just makes more sense, right? Like I feel like the fastest way to increase your financial freedom, right, is to start a business. And if you can't start a business or like the second easiest way is to join a business and get a piece of that, right? Because the it's like the more work you put in, eventually down the road, hopefully it will pay off. But at a big corporate company, or like if you go into like the government or something, the ceiling is what it is. There's no
how about this? So if you were get a position at Google versus you going to a startup, salary is only 10% more in Google, at Google. You know, for a fact you're working 60 hours a week, no matter what, wherever you go, you know, like what would you do, right? And if you had the option, a lot of people are choosing most of the corporate because it's safer.
I think it's different, right? When you talk about corporate, like tech corporate is different than other corporate.
All right, fine. Let's say manufacturing corporation. Let's just say that. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say manufacturing corporation, whatever, you know, so you're making, you get an offer for 100K at this corporate office, okay, manufacturing. And then you get this offer at 85K, but you get, 2% equity, whatever it is, okay? And 2%, I'm just being generous. So
it's very generous.
Yeah, but anyway, but still, you see what I'm saying? Like, what would you do? And how come not more people are picking this? I feel like in our generation, a lot of people are picking the safer route.
Oh, you think our generation picks the safer route more often? Yeah. I think that's possible. It's because like we're grown up. You go out to go to college so that you can secure a good job, right? Like a good job, good high paying job. And I think it's because the boomers generation, that generation was, they needed stability. Yeah. And whenever they were looking for a job, they're looking for stability in their job.
But that grain in our mind and our culture.
And so like that was taught down to us, right? So my family was always like, oh yeah, you go to college, you'll get a good job. And then I changed jobs every year. And they're like, what are you doing? Why don't you stay in the same job?
What are you doing with your career? Yeah. When I switched job between consulting firms, I took a 6-month break. My mom's like, what the hell are you doing with your life? And I said, no one's going to hire you again, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, and now I feel like in a certain time, like that, sometimes you just outgrown the career or the job, or sometimes you feel like, you know what I mean? Like when you start losing for a passion for something, sometimes you just got to make a change.
Yeah.
Whether you outgrown the city or you outgrown the career, or you just, if you don't do the change, you're going to be just, I feel like you're going to be more
miserable. That's all. Yeah. You're just going to sit there and be miserable. And like
try to explain that to an Asian parent, you know?
Yeah, and you try to explain it to any boomer, really, and they'll just be like, oh, no, you should just take the company that's, like, stable. Yeah. Like,
you should be lucky to have a job.
You're going to have a job there for 20, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
And that's never been my goal. Like, I've always just been like, And for us, we need to realize that as you change roles, you make more money. Like, companies are going to pay you more to leave your current situation. Yeah. So you need to be pushing, you need to be moving. I think that's instilled in us. So like if we're going to go, if someone who values stability, they're going to value that 100K more often. And then the people who are okay with instability, or like you need to have confidence in your abilities. And just be confident in yourself.
That's true. Confidence is so that you can get out of it. Make the best out of it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you need to believe that no matter what happens, you're going to be able to take care of yourself, right? Like that's really like every time I've switched jobs, I've just been like, there's like a firing or like a layoff that's happening, I'm like, okay, if they lay me off, I get a severance, I'll land on my feet, right? Like I'm confident that I can find another job. And I can go move on. But there's people who are very scared of like the unknown and scared that they don't know what's going to happen.
See, I agree with you in that part. Also, again, I guess it depends who you have, a family or not, to raise things like that, kids to worry about. That's a whole different story, right?
But
I'm sorry, just speaking for ourselves, where we don't have to worry about even a girlfriend, you know. But but more like, well, we can do that because, not because we're young, it's just because we can take the gamble. I mean,
and we believe that that in the end we'll be able to find our way into another something.
And we believe that we're better off at the end of it too.
Yeah. So.
But I feel like that comes down to, that plays a role into financial freedom in a sense, because I think that if you're busting your ass up for the same amount of hours, no matter where you go, why not take that chance for me? At least personally, if we're in our situation, you know? So.
Yeah, I think so. For me, yeah. I also think that way, like, if I'm going to be working and I'm going to be busting my ass anyways, mm-hmm. might as well have a piece of the pie. Be like, join a company, get yeah. some equity, and then if that equity like explodes, then you're set. But that's the difference between like a startup company and a like manufacturing company, like you said,
like established manufacturing company.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you yeah. go to like an Apple or an Amazon or like yeah. one of the FANG companies,
they get stock options too. Yeah.
No, you're getting RSUs, right? Like this, it's not options, right? It's it's still like a stock package. So you're getting
stocks options and play discount. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're getting a equity package in all of that. So you do have a piece, and those companies are growing at a rate that is like, it's good enough where like you could take those jobs and still become very rich, right? And that's the difference between what I see between like FANG and like some other non-tech companies that are stable. So like I feel like if you join a tech company or a startup, it's very similar in the sense where like yeah. you're still like the potential is still very high on even yeah. if you just stay at that stable company.
I remember even at Disney, right? I remember getting that employee discount stock option was nice. The extra 15% discount. Mm-hmm. Back then, I remember this wasn't me being an intern. I remember it was like, it was the Disney stock was $24 per share. I got a 15% discount. I just started loading it up, maximizing the hell out of that. Every mm-hmm. 6 months, what's it called? That EPS was, that's what it's called. EPS, ESPP. Whatever.
Yeah, employee stock share plan.
Yeah. And so like, so every time I interned it 3 times, I just maximized the hell out of it, throw everything to my paycheck. And I'm still holding on to the shares today. So mm-hmm. it was like, and back, you know, like that's like my life savings there pretty much right now.
Yeah. So. Like companies that you expect to be like continuously growing and like yeah. are good. Like you can still make a lot of money off of it. And then take that high salary as well. Right. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of people like the security. That's why they take those other jobs that are
more and secure. I feel like that extra 10-15K could go a long further away. Like
yeah.
today.
And maybe yeah. And it's also a difference between like, oh, if I'm making 85 to 100 versus yeah. like 130 to 155 or something.
Yeah.
130, 145. Like it's, if the higher you, the more you make, that 15K doesn't really
matter as much.
Matter as much. Sure. That 10% might not matter.
That's a good way to call it, because if especially like versus 75 and 60K, that's a huge jump.
Yeah, right.
Like you think about it, that's like mentally wise, that's a huge yeah, jump. But
it's 25% right there.
Like, yeah, that's a, but then huge. But then once you get to 150 to 175, like okay.
Yeah, you're like, okay. You're like, it's okay. A nice bump, but like it's not nice changing bump. Your lifestyle.
Yeah, correct. And you're getting taxed more. That's all it comes down to.
That's you're getting paid more, so you get taxed more. It makes sense.
Yeah, unless you're making not unless that. I think the next gap for that, I feel like, is between 230 and 250. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Because now you jump the bracket of the tax bracket.
Yeah, that tax bracket jump.
Yeah, and so I think that matters too, though. So.
Yeah, it depends on where you live and stuff as yeah. well. I think the tax bracket, the tax changes, it's not too much change. But if you live in like a state like California, it's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
Like,
it's huge. Yeah.
They take half of your stuff anyways.
So, New York City, California, New York, DC, yeah. Seattle, all this stuff. Yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
No, Seattle's zero.
What?
Yeah, Seattle's zero. The Washington state has zero tax.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's that one. That one's not one of them. But yeah, New York, DC, and California, very much so like that. Like yeah. you gotta take into account taxes as well. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's something to think about, right? So like, at the end of the day, is what do you want to do with your life? And I know we contemplate this all the time at different phases of our life, whether we turn 21 or 25, 30, 45, whatever, so forth. Like, do you want more time and more freedom? And, you know, hopefully, you know, this, whoever listening to this episode, hopefully has gotten you a different perspective. I know that we're one side of it. I'm sure people who have family who is probably,
They're probably like on the opposite side. Like, what are you guys? What are these like stupid kids like talking about? Like,
thinking about you, more money?
More money? Like, come on, we need time with our family. Like, how much? What percentage of our generation do you think is in our mindset that has the same mindset as us?
I'd say probably let's every 100, probably maybe 10.
Oh, you think we are 10% of our generation?
Because at the end of the day, like you said this before, right? Our generation, millennial, wants more time to do experience.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
but also like I feel like our
generation... I was like that too. Don't get me wrong. I travel a lot for fun. I travel like, you know, I but also at the same time, I kind of make sure that I'm still keeping up with my wealth a little bit, my net worth, right? But I travel from experience, and I still make that my priority every year, no matter what. And so
that has not been my priority almost ever any year, that I've been around. So I think I'm very much on this far end, and like everywhere else, everyone else is somewhere in the middle.
You're a little bit more extreme than me, mm-hmm. but I'm still on that side.
Right, right. And I think I think the rest of our generation is like somewhere on the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like, you're
Sean probably, is not though. Sean is way ahead of us.
Sean is...
He's a little bit ahead of us. You know why.
No, but Sean is... Sean was on my camp until like working. Once he started having kids and stuff, then like that changes everything.
He stabilized himself.
But he was even further than me. Like didn't do anything. Like he was way farther on that side.
He was just hoarding money. That's what he was doing. He was just hoarding
that's
money.
That's all he does. But that's what, like you look at our friend group and you're like, oh yeah, our friend group. All we do is hoard money. Jesus Christ.
All right. Anyway, so we're going to conclude this episode with a rant. I do want to start my rant because I've been wanting to get this on my chest.
Okay.
So for those who live in near construction, okay, let me tell you, hopefully, there should be some kind of insurance those construction company offer around the neighborhood, because they leave like metal scraps, nails, screws, whatever it is. They don't clean it up half of the time. And then they do a shitty job at it, you know? And so... In the past 2.5 years, there's been I have a construction nearby my house. Today, I got a nail in my tire. It wasn't even a nail. It was a screw, okay-ish. Like, it was kind of a weird screw nail, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is the third nail I got in 2.5 years in my neighborhood area.
Damn, 2.5 years alone, a lot.
Yeah. They should have some kind of insurance that I can just call and get my money back, you know? Worthwhile.
Who would you call? Like, who?
I don't know. They should provide that kind of stuff for the neighborhood, you know?
I think it would have to be like the state or something would have to.
Correct. And then they pay for a freaking tire, you know? A tire costs like $100 to $200.
Or they call, or they pay to fix it.
No, I want a new tire at that point. No, if it buses through like that, especially busted through the main structure of it, no. It also depends how the tire gets penetrated, right?
Oh, or everybody gets those tires that can get fixed, the self-fixing tires or whatever. They have those.
The fillers?
No, they have tires that don't go flat.
I never heard of it. Never seen it.
Yeah, there's tires that like if you get a nail in it, it'll like self repair or something like that. That's
what it's called. What, a robotic tire? AI tire?
I don't know. I don't know how it's made, but it's made in a way where you can still drive on it for a long time after it gets
a nail. That's interesting. By the way, I'm just saying, like, if you think about it, if you drive a freaking Lamborghini through that neighborhood or a nice BMW, your tire costs like $1,000 each. Yeah. You'll be so mad, you know.
Do you live in an area where you can where you drive Lamborghinis around all the time?
No, Mike. I don't. No.
Oh man, we all know now. The audience all knows.
No,
Mike's in the Lambo area. He's upset right? at his $1,000 tires.
First of all, my car is a Toyota Camry 2012. Okay. I drive a nice green Toyota 2012 Camry. Okay, I'm gonna ride and die with that car until it dies. Okay. All right.
Maybe you need to up the ante in the neighborhood and start with get a Lambo so that now your neighbors start getting Lambos and then you just up the actually, level of the neighborhood.
Believe it or not, my whole neighborhood has much better car than I do. I think even my roommate has a Cadillac. Okay, I have a Camry still. Like all my neighbors have some kind of luxury car except for me.
Oh, interesting.
I just don't drive enough to get a luxury car.
You drive enough to get three nails in your tires in 2 years. So,
Listen, I wish I could win the lottery. Let me tell you right now, with that kind of thing, with that kind of luck.
Man, I don't think that's. Yeah, that sucks. It really does suck. I don't know who. Yeah, the state would have to pay for it. I don't know if like if they would even do that. I don't know how. How can you sue the state?
I don't even know because you can't prove it's their nail, right? You can't prove it's their stuff that's thrown in the middle of the street. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
I think you're stuck, man.
I feel like there should be any kind of construction site that should kind of provide some kind of coverage within a mile radius or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Okay.
But then everybody would take advantage of that shit. So.
They definitely would. Like, I would get a nail in. I would just get a nail in my tire just to get a new one. Every time my tread is worn, just get a nail in there. Just
yeah.
Re-up.
I mean, Florida's already has enough. Fraudulent frauds with insurance already. Might as well
add a little bit more on.
Yeah. All right. So, what's your vent?
So my vent is it has to do with you actually, right?
Okay.
So the other day. I don't know. One of our friends is going to Vegas. So he's talking about practicing his blackjack, right?
Okay.
And so he sent us a blackjack trading site. So I started.
That's right. You practice on your own and you get an account.
Yeah. And so they give you like, it's $1,000 free or whatever. And then they're betting or whatever. So I played like, I want to say I played like 200 hands or something.
How long did that take you, by the way, 200 hands?
30, 40 minutes, maybe?
Shit, you sit down for like 34 minutes.
I don't think it takes that long, actually. It might have been 20 minutes. I don't know. It's not that long. I've actually gone farther and done like, I'm at like 1,300 hands now. Like,
holy crap. Like
I don't know. I get in these moods. Like, I've also played like Monopoly Deal site. I've gone on there and played hundreds of thousands of hands.
That's true.
So yeah.
You try to become a pro. You just put in hours in. That's fine.
I don't know. It's like mindless work, I guess.
Is it mindless though? You have to think about it though. You do have to think about it a little bit in blackjack.
Yeah, it's mindless in the sense that like there is a mindless answer.
There is no count counting then. You can't count cards because you don't have to tell
anything. Yeah, yeah. So what happened was I played like 200 hands and then I was down. Like I played 95% accurate, right? They tell you how accurate you are. I played 95% accurate and I was down $200.
Wait, you made the right moves.
I made 95% right moves and I was down and I was like,
did you double down the wrong time and you lost more money?
I don't know. Like, it's just 95%. It means that at 5% of the time,
it doesn't matter. All it takes one big hand to make you to lose.
No, but they're all the same bet size.
They're all the same bet size.
They're all the same bet size. Sometimes you double down or split and stuff. Yes. That would make it more. But still, like, I'm only off by 5%, right? And I was losing. I was like, I posted to the group and then Mike Wong over here was like, what's the point? Like, it's not going to be accurate to like what the real casino is. It's because you have
other people
playing. Yeah. And I'm like, does that mean like I shouldn't be practicing this? I feel like that's not the point of this game. The point of the game is to be accurate enough so that you can play.
For your own personal moves so you can play.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that people who play blackjack, I mean, they can, you know, you guys can comment on this, but I feel like the people around next to you matters, right? Because for example, especially you know that could be people hitting the wrong spots and they're getting that whatever the number it is, right? That kind of impacts your decision to a certain degree.
Yeah, it but does. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be practicing on your own. You could always leave that table and go somewhere else.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't practice that at all.
Eventually, you can get to a table where it's just you and the dealer.
Yeah, that'd be a good scenario, right?
And then hopefully you can play. Like I think it got to like 800 hands, and then I was positive, like something. Damn, like that.
800. That's like 2 hours.
I think it was more like that first 200 hands was like the worst losing streak. It was like a really bad losing streak.
Yeah.
And like my luck was just like on the wrong side. And
you know what you do? We should do like a tournament amongst the Frank. The first person who took a 2,000 hand, the most winnings.
You know, the most winnings, but like it's not like
2,000 hand. That's a cap. 2,000 hand. It will force you to be accurate.
I mean, I don't. Yeah. or it could be like you're inaccurate at the exact right time.
Yeah.
And like you didn't double down when you should have, but you would have lost that hand or something.
Yeah. So I mean, think about it, that right, like you said, so you're practicing also to minimize the losses. You could have loss, but you can also minimize the losses as well at the same time.
Yeah, because mistakes lead to, like, they cost money, right? Or like in the long run, say you have a 1,000 hands or something, in the long run that'll lose you money. It's just, yeah. that's the idea, right? But like, I don't know. I played a lot of that game.
I don't know if I played Blackjack that well either, so I made enough mistakes.
I got to 95% accurate. I think I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, but how much money you make too?
It's also stupid, right? Because like at 800 hands, I was up $500 or $400, and at 1,300 hands, I'm up $500. So it's like so up and down. Like it's just
so can you increase your bets?
No, not on that site. The site's just to see, just to track the right move at the right time. So they're not really tracking how much you're winning.
Maybe. I wonder if there's another site that does the same thing, but the tracks, they can also increase increase your bet. So that way you can actually bet on the right time, because now you're confident that's the right move.
They have free sites to play blackjack, man.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
They have free like poker.
But it doesn't tell you the accuracy of your hands, though.
That's true. They don't tell you how accurate you are. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this episode up. So for those who want to leave some comments about financial freedom, you know, time versus money, what would you pick? Let us know. We definitely want to hear from you folks.
Yeah, let us know. Like, I feel like we're on the edge case where we're all looking for money and like very money hungry. And maybe we're the evil money hungry guys. But like, I'm sure there's people out there that are looking for more time with their families, with their friends, with just like everyone. And we want to know, like, let us know if we're like just completely wrong. We should be rethinking everything. Right,
we should rethink our life, right?
Just rethink your life. Stop worrying. Stop being so money hungry. Yeah. And everybody out there, like, if you're listening to us or if you're watching us on YouTube, we want you to smash that like button as well. Subscribe to our channel. Everyone listening on the podcast sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, just subscribe there as well. And we have episodes every week. And if you want to listen to any of our old episodes, you can go to our website, www.gfothoughts.com.
Yeah, and don't forget, if you want to, you know, come up the episode, let us know. Just send us an email or just DM us.
Yeah. So, send us a message on Instagram or something. We're always there.
Well, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Until next time, thanks. Have a good one.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOTThoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.